Jesus said, as he answered disciples' questions about the sign of his coming at the end of the age, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Notice that what Jesus is highlighting for us here is that when the end time events begin, we'll be raptured, the tribulation period will follow shortly after that, and as these things happen, it will happen very quickly, and people will be caught completely and totally off guard. Paul put it this way in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 2 and 3. "The day of the Lord," which is a reference to the tribulation period, "so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they," that's the world, "shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Now notice he says that, like in the days of Noah, you know, it happened suddenly. They didn't know it because perhaps hours before the sky opened and the rain started to fall, before that happened, they were just going on with business as usual. They were getting married. They were eating their meals. They were just doing everything that they normally would do. And they were completely caught off guard. Paul's saying here in this analogy, it's going to be like a woman who's expecting. And she's full term, 9 months. And she's expecting that she's going to deliver that baby. But when, you know, when that moment comes, when she has those birth pangs, the muscle contractions that begin, it's rather sudden. It's expected, but at the same time, she doesn't know exactly when it's going to begin. So what the Bible is telling us is that the world will have a clue. The world will know that it's about to happen, but they have to be paying attention. Take your Bible, turn with me to the parable of the fig tree in Matthew chapter 24. Jesus, in this parable, is teaching his disciples in a parable, a lesson, a story, as it were, to help them to get what he had put in words. You know, they've asked him, "What is the sign of your coming in the end of the age, or the end of the world?" And Jesus talks about earthquakes. He talks about famine. He talks about the hatred for Israel. He talks about the violence. He talks about a lot of different things. And then in verse 15, he begins to talk about the Antichrist when he shows up in Jerusalem and storms into the temple and stops the sacrifice. And then after all of that, he finally talks about his return at the end of the tribulation period, when every eye shall see him and he comes in all of his splendor and all of his glory and his might and his power. But then after that, he wants to make sure the disciples understood what he said. So being the master teacher that he was, he gives them a parable, a story. Join me in verse 32. He says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree." Now look up here for a minute. Luke tells us that Jesus also said, don't just look at the fig tree, but look at all the trees. What we would call the deciduous trees. The trees that shed their leaves, and in the spring the new leaves come out. He says, "Look at the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it," what is it? It's, we would say, the tribulation period. "It is near, even at the doors." And then he says this, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." Now, we could debate what Jesus meant here, but in light of context, when Jesus said, "This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled," I believe that exactly what he's saying is the generation that sees the convergence of all of these things, the wars, rumors of wars, the diseases, the famines, the earthquakes, the beginning of Israel, and all these things, when they see all of this happening, before that generation that sees all these things happen passes off the scene, the tribulation period will happen. Having said that, friends, we can say we do not have another 100 years, probably do not have another 50 years. We do not know the day or the hour, but we do know the season. It's somewhat like, and you've heard me describe it like this before, it's like going to watch a play. And the people have rehearsed, and you come for the play, the curtain is drawn. the pastor or someone stands up and greets you, has prayer. The curtain's open, and when it does, all of the actors are up here. They have all of their all of their clothing on that's going to represent their character. There is the backdrop that's been painted. The play is about to begin. Now, I believe that what Jesus is saying here is, when the curtain opens and the tribulation period begins, everything will be in place. In other words, the world will have been exactly prepared politically and economically and socially, geologically, spiritually. Every facet you could think about, it will all be in place. So again, what Jesus is saying is, the people that see all these things coming together, converging to a point, when they see this, before they all die off, in general, that's the generation he's talking about here, before they all die off, it's going to happen. The generation that has witnessed the birth of Israel and its growth in the last 75 years has witnessed more change in their world than any previous generation in the history of man. Now, this is mind-boggling if you think about it. If you look at where we are and what we have experienced and are experiencing and have in these last 75 years since the birth of Israel, it's astounding to see the changes in our world. Turn over to Psalm 102, where the psalmist gives us the Old Testament version of the parable of the fig tree. In Psalm 102, the psalmist is talking about the eternality of God and the generation of man. He says in Psalm 102, and beginning with verse number 12, "But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever, and your remembrance unto all generations. You shall arise and have mercy on Zion." That word Zion means Jerusalem, or more technically, the Temple Mount, where the temple stood. "For the time to favor her, yea," now notice this, "the set time." God has a set time. God has an appointed time for everything. He's not waiting in heaven until something happens and then he's going to respond. No, God has a set time. So he says, "For your servants take pleasure, for the set time to favor her has come. Yea, the set time has come, for her servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof." Now in verse 14 he's saying, those who are the servants of God and who love Israel are going to love the very ground of Israel because it represents where God is going to fulfill his eternal plan. He says in verse 15, "So the heathen, the nations, shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory." Now listen carefully to verse 16. "When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory." Now look up here at the screen. I love this picture of modern Jerusalem you're looking at here. You know, if you were, I made my many trips to Israel, and there was a time when I was going every year. And the amazing thing for me was, as I returned after the last year, and we're in Jerusalem, I said, "That was a vacant field last year. Look at what's happened there since then." It's just like in 12 months, it's unbelievable what is happening. Jerusalem and all of Israel, but especially Jerusalem, is growing at a phenomenal rate. So here he says, "When you see the building up of Zion, of Jerusalem, he shall appear in his glory." In other words, it's a signal that God is building his momentum for everything. Because listen, friends, when we talk about the end time events, we're talking about Jerusalem. The Antichrist's interest in Jerusalem. And when Jesus returns, he returns to Jerusalem. And when he rules and reigns over the nations of the world, it will be from Jerusalem. Notice in verse 18, he says, "This," all that he said here, "shall be written for the generation to come." Literally in Hebrew, he's saying, this is written for the last generation. That's the same thing Jesus was referring to in Matthew 24. "And thy people, which shall be created, shall praise the Lord." So again, the Bible is telling us the coming of the Lord is at a set time. And that set time, he's going to orchestrate all the events that are upon this earth, preparing it for that time when he will judge the whole world in what we call the 7-year tribulation period. Now the man that represents this period of time, I think, is the one you see here on the screen. Benjamin Netanyahu was born on October 21st, 1949, in Tel Aviv, Israel. Now, I've got something in common with this man. I was born 3 weeks later. I was born in November of 1949. So I think that in his lifetime and my lifetime, friends, listen, my lifetime represents what God has been doing in our world uniquely to prepare it for the tribulation period. I look back to my childhood years. I look back to my teenage years and through my young adult years. And I look at the change in our world, and it's like I get dizzy thinking about where we were and where we are. You see, I was born into a world with no television. I was born in a world with no computer or internet or cell phones or credit cards. No interstate systems, no air conditioning in homes. Eating out was very rare. There was no air or electric windows on cars. If you got it, you had to special order it. There were no illegal drugs problems. No popularity for bizarre sexual perverted behaviors or tattoos, abortion, or cremation. Anybody that did those things back in those days was unacceptable. They were ostracized. They were weird, as the way normal people would have put it back then. And there was no disrespect for the American flag, the church, or Jesus Christ. It was a different world. And sanity permeated our culture. And sanity is now not a part of our culture. Now, again, I remind you, the Bible says, Daniel 4:35, He that is God doeth according to His will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth. God is at work, orchestrating all these things, bringing them to pass, setting the stage for that set time that He has determined. He's orchestrating the events of this final generation so that the world will be prepared for God's final showdown with man. Now, let me explain that. From the very beginning, man joined Satan's rebellion against God. In the book of Romans, Paul actually reminds us in chapter 5, I believe it is, he says that we're the enemies of God. We don't have a relationship with God unless we've come through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to look at 11 things tonight that have changed drastically in my lifetime in the last 75 years. Number one is the global population. Now remember, Jesus said it would be like it was in the days of Noah. Well, this was happening in the days of Noah because where we have that explanation, that commentary, and what was it that brought about the flood of Noah's day, in Genesis 6:1, it begins with these words, and it came to pass when men began to multiply upon the face of the earth. One of the first things that was happening when God judged the world the first time in Noah's day was they had reached a point in time where the world, global population was multiplying at an incredible rate. Well, guess what? If you look at the screen up here, and some of you heard me just describe this before, going all the way back here to the time of Christ, we have to come all the way up here to the year 1800 to get the first billion. And then 130 years later, we got the second billion in 1930. Then in just 30 short years later, we got the third billion in 1960. And then just 14 years after that, 1974, the fourth billion, all the way up until in 1922. Now, notice when I got this off the internet, they were guesstimating that in 2024, that we would reach 8 billion people. The problem is we beat what they were expecting, and we got there in October of 2022. So in 1950, there were 2.5 billion people in the world, and by 2022, we had reached 8 billion. Now, friends, that's mind-boggling when you think about the fact that all the way back to the time of Christ, from 1800 to the time of Christ, there wasn't even 1 billion. Now, there's been a global population shift, too, from the farm to the cities. Not only do we have more people, but these people are living in a different situation. The urbanization rate, as you see here, 1950, there was right at 30% of the people were living in the cities. By 1970, it was almost 37%. 1990, 43%. 2015, now jumps up to 54%. And we're right now somewhere around 55 to 56% of people on the planet live in the city. What does that mean? Fewer and fewer people are growing food. Now, I remind you, in the beginning, when God created mankind, and you read those early chapters of the Bible, everybody was a farmer. Everybody was growing their own food. And you know, it hasn't been that long ago in our country that the overwhelming majority of Americans grew their own food. But all that's changed. There are 570 million farms in the world, and 200,000 farms went out of business from 2007 to 2020. There is a trend going on. The trend is not good. As a matter of fact, I just read it again today. They're telling us that the food crisis in America and around the world is getting very serious. The average farm today is 455 acres. Inflation is forcing small farmers to sell to the larger farmers, like Bill Gates and China. Average U.S. farm feeds 166 people, and there are 200 million farms in the United States. I did the math, and this is what I came up with. America is feeding 2.32 billion people in the world. That's 29% of the people in the world are fed from America. And what we raise and grow right here in the good old USA. Almost one-third of the global population. In 1950, there were only 14,000 food supermarkets in the United States. But in 2022, the latest statistics I found are 63,419 food supermarkets. Notice the increase, which means fewer and fewer people are growing their food, so they have to have somewhere to get it. And I'm not going to ask you tonight, but I wonder how many of you consume most of your food almost exclusively from the grocery store. You grow very little. But along with the global population, there's also been something else that has taken place that is ground-shattering. The collapse of marriage and the home. Now, friends, this is important because, listen to me now, this is the basic building block of society. When God created Adam and Eve, the first thing God did is He brought Adam and Eve together and He made them one flesh. In other words, God performed the first wedding. And they had the first home, the first children. Statistical data indicates, listen, that when the family collapses, the nation has to collapse as well. Marriage and home clearly reflect where a nation stands spiritually. When the home is strong, the nation will be secure. When we talk about the collapse of the home, we can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, where the Bible says, when the last days comes, perilous or dangerous, difficult times come, because men shall, watch this now, become lovers of themselves. And later he says, he talks about the kind of people they will be, including being disobedient to parents, and the fact that they refuse to forgive one another. Now, friends, the reason the home is collapsing is because people no longer love their spouse like they should. You know, this, what we should strive to do, a man should strive to love his wife more than he loves his own flesh. That's what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5. And the wife should strive to love her husband more than she loves herself. By the way, you can't do that in the power of the flesh. You can only do that in the power of the Holy Spirit. Make no mistake about it. The reason the home is in trouble is because America spiritually is in trouble. About half of marriages in America end in divorce, and the average marriage only lasts 8 years. Cohabitation numbers, that's people just simply living together instead of getting married, are escalating. Same-sex marriages are increasing. Fewer people are having children. And abortions are happening, more than 900,000 last year. More than 400,000 children are in foster care in the United States. Think about that now. This means that there are 400,000 children who don't have a mom and a daddy that love them. They don't have a home. Elder abuses and euthanasia are escalating around the world. So on both ends of the spectrum, the children and the elderly are being mishandled and abused and rejected and even killed, which tells you that this population that does this has no respect for human life. there's been a dramatic change in attitudes towards children. Now, friends, I believe with all of my heart that one of the strongest indicators in the Bible of a culture that has fallen away from God is just simply look at what they think about kids. In 1950, the population of the United States was 151. In 2022, it was 333 million. In 1950, there were 3.6 million babies that were born, but with a population that had doubled in 2022, there was only 100,000 more, 3.7 million babies born. You see, that 3.7 ought to be over 7 million, but why? Some young people are deciding they don't want to have any children. Why? Because it gets in the way of their fun and what they want to do. In 1950, there were only 7 abortions recorded. But in 2022, there was 897,600 abortions. But there's also been a change in morality that has happened in this last 75 years that is moving us so rapidly in the direction of the evil and immorality of the tribulation period. Once again, in 1950, there were 3.6 million babies. In 1922, only 3.7 in the United States. But, you know, in 1950, there were only 93,700 unmarried mothers. But 2022, 1,464,455 unmarried moms, single moms. My heart bleeds for these women. Same-sex households was illegal in 1950, so there was no statistical data to be recorded because, again, it was illegal. But what about 2022? Now we have 1.2 million people that have what they call same-sex households. 2 men living together, 2 women living together. STD stands for sexually transmitted diseases. In 1950, there was only 0.5, that is a half of a million. But now there are 64 million sexually transmitted diseases, and it's adding 15 million more per year in the United States of America. Incarcerated here in the United States, back in 1950, we had 290,000 people in jails, federal and state. But now we have 2.3 million incarcerated. Friends, I hope you, these are statistics, but they represent a change in the face and the heart of America. America has the highest drug death rate in the world. Right now, we have over 100,000 out of a million people that are having drug-related deaths. More than 8% of Americans have a substance abuse problem. That is either alcohol or drugs. 8% of Americans. What about the escalation of violence? Remember that the Bible tells us in Genesis that violence was one of the big issues why God brought about the global flood. We're seeing the proliferation of violence and wars and conflicts. The increases in domestic violence and hate crimes is exploding right here in the Roanoke Valley and all around the world. Children are killing their own parents. My wife was just reading to me just the other day about an 11-year-old boy who took a gun and shot his mother between the eyes. The family told the police that eventually what they found out was that the mother was refusing to use her credit card to pay for another app that this little boy wanted to put on his computer so he could play one of those violence games. She was seeing what it was doing to him. She refused, so he got the gun out and shot her between the eyes. And then you know what he did? He went to her bedroom, got out the credit card, ordered the app, and got it downloaded on his computer and was playing it before he finally called the police and said, "I think you need to come over here. I don't know what happened, but I think my mom is dead." By the way, friends, I have been following this for a number of years. One of the most dangerous things that kids do are play these video games that have violence and immorality. Kids, let them go to their bedroom, close the door, or the parents go to bed, and they let the kids play these things with these things and never pay attention to what they're doing. And they've invited, what they've done is they've invited the demons to come into their house and into their child's room and to destroy their child's conscience and mind. We're seeing the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. Think about it. Only in our lifetime we now have nuclear, well, chemicals have been around a little while, but also biological weapons, high-tech weapons, and the rise of global terrorism. I was just talking to Joyce about this today. I think I've mentioned to you before, but you know, our media does not talk about what's happening on a daily basis with Muslims who are killing Christians and other people. The religionofpeace.com, that's a website, it's all one word, thereligionofpeace.com. If you go there, they update this every day and they show, they give you statistical data, where it happened, what happened there, and they keep the numbers up. It's just unbelievable what's happening in our world. And again, the media, the people in the world have no clue as to what is happening. Another is the high-tech inventions of our day. You know, friends, we live at I think, listen to me now, the most dangerous time in the history of America and the world. Let me say that again. I believe we live at the most dangerous time in the history of America and the world. And one of the reasons is because of the high-tech inventions we have that are constantly tempting us, filling our minds with evil, and changing who we are. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, his mind, so is he. We are what we think. We are what we read, what we look at. Friends, we all need to be very careful what we watch and what we hear. Romans 1:30 talks about the fact that in the last days will be those who are inventors of evil things. Now, I have television at my house, but rarely is it on. And if it is, it's very much controlled. We don't watch any, quote-unquote, normal kind of sitcoms and all that garbage. But I believe that when the judgment day comes and people look back, they will realize that we all were changed as a result of what we watched on TV. And we must control that. Our cell phones, artificial intelligence, all these things are impacting our lives. But also the radical economic changes. You know, the first credit card was introduced in 1950. And they did not become prevalent until the 1960s and 70s. All of this is preparing the way for the mark of the beast technology. In Revelation 13, the Bible tells us that in the midpoint of the tribulation period, the Antichrist will have the technology to view, watch, and control every person on the planet and tell them whether they can buy or whether they can sell anything. They control everyone's personal economic plan. Although it's not here yet, they have been preparing us for that moment, and credit cards are a great leap in that direction. We now know when we talk about security, there's all kinds of things that are coming up like facial recognition and recognition of the iris, your eye, and so forth, digital currency. And our world is rapidly moving toward a one world currency. I still, if I'm trying to stay on top of this, I'm finding out that in just about 1 year, it's the projection is perhaps sometime next September that digital currency will be introduced. And if you want to, this is my conjecture, okay? And notice I'm saying conjecture. I personally believe that unless something changes between now and next September, that the powers that be will have to do something to stop Donald Trump from running for president. And I personally think that probably one of the things they likely may do is introduce this digital currency, and there will be a backlash on the part of America, and it should be on this, to the point that they will use that to declare martial law, which means they suspend everything, including the voting in November of next year. That's my guess. Something like that is coming, if not even before then. Another thing that has changed our lives radically, not just in 75 years, but perhaps in the last 100 or more years, is electricity. In the last 100 years, electricity has altered our daily lifestyles. In 1980, today, 87% of the global population totally depends upon it for their everyday needs: food, storage and preparation, heating, air conditioning, lighting, power for our factories, offices, homes, and schools. An entire global generation has become totally dependent upon electricity for their survival. And from what I understand from Scripture, it's not a matter of if, but when it's going to come down. Now, they're telling us here in America that our electrical grid is very weak. And the idea that they're pressing us to want to buy electric cars is actually really futile, because if even 10% of Americans get an electric car, our electrical grid cannot handle that, along with everything else we're using right now. But not only that, if we have either a man-made or natural EMP, electromagnetic pulse, which basically fries all of the electrical components in our country, the whole electric grid, and it's all shut down, and we have to rely upon China, who manufactures this, by the way. We don't manufacture any of these things to repair our electrical grid in our country. It's all manufactured in China. And if we have to depend upon them to restore that, we are now probably looking at somewhere between 6 months to 18 months to repair even a part of our grid. Think of what would happen in our country right here if people did not have electricity for even 1 month, much less 6 months or 18 months. See, friends, what I'm trying to get us to see tonight is this. The tribulation period will be a time of where time is very fragile, where life is very precious. People are going to be starving. They're going to be faced with all kinds of evil agendas on the part of governments and other people. People hunting them down. All kinds of crazy things that are happening. And we are the first generation that has been uniquely prepared for these kinds of situations. Should our world face a sudden interruption of electricity for a few months or years, it would be fatal and dangerous for a greater percentage of the world's population. Another is the increase of natural disasters. Again, look at the statistical data. Matthew 24, Jesus said that there would be an increase in earthquakes. In Luke, he said, "And there shall be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations." With perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. But you look at the graph here, going all the way back to 1900, and showing that at the increase in natural disasters, and it really begins to go up around 1948, the beginning of the modern state of Israel, and you see the graph just goes up. So we're seeing the increase of hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and volcanic eruptions and winds and floods and fires and all these things. And of course, our government would say, well, that's all because of climate change. Friends, let's cut right to it. It's the judgment of God. We are being warned of God right now about what is to come. But what about diseases? We see the growth rate of infectious diseases. You see the percentage of 2017 to 2022 from 5.6 to 33.6. And the prevalence of Alzheimer's disease is a phenomenon that's been just blown off the charts in my lifetime and yours. Two of the top killers, of course, is heart disease and cancer. And the growth rate of sexual transmitted diseases, as we talked about earlier. The Bible indicates that diseases will increase in the last days. I personally believe that part of this is because we're doing this to ourselves. I remember my great-grandparents living over there in Franklin County. They raised all the food that they ate. And my grandfather went to the doctor for the first time in his life when he was 81 years old. Never had a problem. And that was not uncommon in those days. Of course, my grandmother, she had all kinds of home remedies. You should see some of the potions that she would come up with. But anyway, this is what we're facing today. A lot of it is because we destroyed our immune systems with all of the pesticides, with all of the additives that we put in our food and so forth. And the other is the collapse of the church. The decline of religion in general in America, if you just look at the year from 1952 until this year, on this particular chart, 2012, you see the results. Back in the 1950s, 50% of the people in America went to church almost every Sunday. That's not true anymore. That's why we have what we have in America now. Church membership among the United States adults has declined, especially in the last 20 years, this particular chart shows here, going all the way back to 1938 and coming all the way up to 2018. It is showing a natural, a decline of people becoming a part of a local church. Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 18, verse 8, he asked that question, will he, that is himself, the Lord Jesus, find faith on the earth? In other words, the true biblical faith will be very rare. Most conservative evangelical churches are in decline today. I travel across America, and I preach in some of these churches. A lot of the churches I preach in are relatively small churches. And some of them that I preached in 20 years ago no longer exist. The doors have been closed. Americans do not want to be convicted of sin, but they're seeking a confirmation of their unholy cultural shift taking place in our world. They do not want to hear doctrine, but want a quick fix, feel-good message that makes them feel good about themselves. The megachurch idea has destroyed God's purposes for the body of Christ. We've become the church that Jesus wants to spew out of his mouth, according to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16. I'm afraid that most pastors today are more concerned about numbers than they are about the spiritual condition of the people that are there in their church. And then lastly, Israel's place in the world. In 1948, the nation of Israel was born. Friends, I don't think that many of us in this room can appreciate what this really is all about. There's no other people group ever in all of human history that was dispersed from their homeland and scattered to the nations of the world, that regathered, that survived that time away, that came back, that speak the original language, live in the same cities. And all of this is according to what God promised them that he would do. He said, for I will take you from among the heathen, gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. It is happening almost every day in Israel. A plane lands in Tel Aviv at Ben Gurion Airport, and Jews get off the plane, and they're told, welcome home. In 1948, there were only 600,000 Jews. Today, there are 8 million there. I love this picture of Tel Aviv. Skylight view of Tel Aviv. In 1900, it was just sand dunes with a few little tents there. Now look at it. It's a testimony to the reality that God has called the Jewish people back home. The restoration of it land itself. God said in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verses 8 through 11, and when you return, I will return the land to you. He's going to bring the land, the people to the land, but the land will be returned to them. God would make the land flourish. And when you go to Israel, it is incredible the food that you eat there and how delicious it is and how nourishing it is. And the Lord also promised to the Jew in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 9, he said, and all the nations will hate you. Think about this, friends. We look back prior to the beginning of the state of Israel, and we heard of the Holocaust. Several years ago, I took a trip to Poland and went to visit Auschwitz and Birkenau, two of the concentration camps. I was there for several hours in each one, and my heart was torn as I walked through there. And we were on a guided tour, and they were telling us of what the Germans did, and they systematically poured out their hate and killed people simply because they were Jewish. I'm convinced that today the world, including Joe Biden and most of the people in Washington, hate the Jewish people. Joe Biden is basically saying to Israel, you must give up the West Bank, biblical Judea and Samaria. That's why I told you about this film. Go see it. You need to give this land to create a Palestinian state. And yet, the world's not paying attention to what the Palestinians are saying, because the Palestinians are saying, we hate the Jews. We don't want them here. They're trying to kill them. Every day now, there's increase in violence in Israel by the Palestinians to the Israelis. How can there be any hope of peace? Some of the leaders in the new government in Israel wrote a letter to our president, and this is what they said. A two-state solution is suicide for Israel. If you love someone and they're facing a hard situation, you want to tell them, go ahead and commit suicide. That's what they're telling Israel. Because it will not work to have a Palestinian state along beside of a Jewish state. Number one, God gave that land to them, not to the Arabs. So in summary of all of this, Jesus said in Luke 21:28, when you look at all these 11 things that we mentioned tonight and others that are converging, coming together, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for redemption draweth nigh. He's coming. And Jesus said in Luke 21:35, for as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. Now think about that. A snare is a trap. The world does not have a clue as to what's about to happen. God's wrath is about to fall on the nations of the world. And that's why it's important for us to go out and share the gospel and call people to salvation in Jesus Christ. So really what I'm telling you tonight is get ready. He's coming. Get ready for the shout that's going to take us out. His coming is imminent.